Today I want to dive in. We are talking about the antidote, and today I want to focus in on servant leadership. Servant leadership. So let's begin with Matthew chapter 20, verse 17 through 28. And if you have your YouVersion Bible app, you can open it up there, click on live events, you'll see the Trinity Church San Antonio live event, and you have all of the scriptures there, as well as on the slides here as you're watching this video. So Matthew chapter 20, verse 17 through 28 in the NLT version, it says, "As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside privately and told them what was going to happen to him. 'Listen,' he said, 'we're going up to Jerusalem where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. They will sentence him to die. Then they will hand him over to the Romans to be mocked, flogged with a whip, and crucified. But on the third day he will be raised from the dead.' Then the mother of James and John, the son of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. 'What is your request?' he asked. She replied, 'In your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left.' But Jesus answered by saying to them, 'You don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink?' 'Oh, yes,' they replied, 'we are able.' Jesus told them, 'You will indeed drink from my bitter cup, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right hand or on my left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen.' When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. But Jesus called them together and said, 'You know that the rulers in this world lord it over the people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many.'" Let us pray. Father, bless this time that we have together. Speak to us, O God, we ask. Let your word be a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. Open our hearts to receive what you are speaking to us this morning, we ask. In your precious name, the name of Jesus, amen. So I want to start by clarifying a couple of things. We hear that word slave, and it's something that is a hyper word in today's society, in today's culture. It has so many negative connotations. So I wanted to start by focusing in on what these two different words. It said servant and slave. So servant, the Greek word for servant is diakonos. It means an attendant, a waiter, a teacher. And if you listen to the word diakonos, it's the word that we get deacon from. So deacon, pastor, minister, or servant. So it's talking about someone who serves. Someone who serves. And then the word for slave here is doulos, which means slave or bond servant. So leadership in God's kingdom, as defined by Jesus, is serving others. It's serving others. Diakonos, you choose who, how, and when to serve. But doulos, God's will supersedes your will. God's will supersedes your will. Think about that for a minute. A waiter, they choose when they go on. They have a shift. They go in. They work. They're getting paid for what they're doing. They are there. They're serving these people. They are choosing who they want to serve. If somebody's giving them a hard time, they can walk back to the kitchen or to the manager and say, "You know what? This person, I really don't like their attitude. They're giving me a hard time. They're saying ugly things to me. I don't want to wait on them. And would you please put someone else there?" Or there's always those signs in the window, right? It says, "We have the right to refuse service to anyone." I don't know if anyone has ever had that, seen that enforced. Many years ago, when I was just starting out and I was working in the restaurant business, there were a couple of individuals that we had to refuse service to, and so I know what that's like. I know how that works. But you know, that's diakonos. And so, you know, we are on and then we're off. We're on and then we're off. We serve when we need to, and then we can turn it off and walk away and go home and enjoy ourselves and do what we need to do. Doulos is something completely different. Doulos is this word that is referring to a slave, a bond servant, someone who is bound to the will of someone else. Bound to the will of someone else. And so this is a person that, whether they feel like it or not, whether they want to or not, they must serve because they are a bondservant. Notice in the passage above that they were on the way to Jerusalem. They were on the way to Jerusalem. Jesus was trying to prepare them for what was about to happen. But they weren't listening. They weren't listening. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and they began to talk and you got the first sentence out? You were trying to communicate something. You got the first sentence out and you continued on and you knew that their mind immediately stopped listening to you and their mind was off somewhere else and they weren't paying attention to anything that you were saying? That's exactly what happened here. Here Jesus said, "We're going up to Jerusalem," and immediately all the disciples' mind was somewhere else. They didn't hear the rest of anything that he said. They were thinking about how in this moment, now all of a sudden, this is the moment that we've all been waiting for. This is the moment when Messiah will come. He is going to set up his empire. He's going to destroy the Roman Empire. He's going to allow his kingdom to be permanently established, establish Israel as the permanent supreme power of the world. And we're going to rule with him. We're going to reign with him. We are going to be his officials in his kingdom. That was all they heard. They didn't hear about his suffering. They didn't hear about what was going to happen to him. They didn't hear about any of those things. All they heard was, "We're going to Jerusalem." And immediately it sparked this thought process in their mind. I'm going to show you why that's true. What was it that happened shortly after that? Here comes James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and their mom. Now, don't ask me why they got their mother involved. I don't know how that happened or why that happened, but for some reason, these two grown men had their mother go and ask a favor of Jesus. I don't know if any of you grown men out there get your mom involved to have her do your dirty business, all right? But I'm telling you, that's what happened here. So she goes and she says, "Lord, a favor. I understand that you said that we're about to go to Jerusalem, so we all know what's happening. We all know what's fixing to happen. We're going there. You're establishing your kingdom. You're going to wipe out the Roman Empire, and you're setting up your empire, and you are going to be the king, and we're all right here with you. Now, all I ask is that you do one little favor, that you place my two sons, which you and I both know are the best kids in the world, right? No mom out there thinks that their kids are better than everybody else, right? Or maybe all moms do. But she was like, "My sons deserve this. They deserve to sit at your right hand and your left hand. When you rule and reign and you're sitting there on the throne, let them be the ones that are next to you." They didn't get it. They weren't listening. They weren't listening to what Jesus was trying to say to them. So what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? He pulls them aside. But before that happened, after he'd said what he did to them, said, "You know, that's not my place. That's not my place." Then all of a sudden, the other disciples heard what had happened. And it says that they got upset. It says they were indignant. Why were they upset? Why were they upset? Think about it. Was it because they thought, "James, John, how dare you? You know, Jesus is about to go get crucified, and you're sitting here and you're asking these kinds of things"? No, that wasn't the reason they were upset. They were upset because James and John thought that they deserved the highest position. And the rest of them were like, "Who do you think you are? Think about what so-and-so did. Think about what Peter has done. Think about what Andrew did. Think about this one." They were sitting there and going back and forth and saying, "How dare you think that you're better? How dare you think that you're better? One of us deserves this instead of you. And Jesus stops the whole thing. He says, time out. Time out. Come here. Let's look at Matthew 20, verse 25 through 28 again. It says, but Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be the servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. They didn't get it. They didn't understand one word that he was saying. What happened next? He was about to enter. They were ascending into Jerusalem. Jesus sends two disciples to go bring this colt. He gets on the colt, and he's riding into the city. And I can just see those disciples that went ahead begin to instigate. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. They're getting the crowd out there. They're getting everybody excited. They're getting everybody pumped. Come on, come on. And everybody starts yelling. Everybody starts shouting. They start taking branches off and throwing them down there. You know how it is. One person starts doing something, and then everybody starts doing it. How many of you think that maybe one of the disciples was out there ahead of everybody saying, hey, guys, come on, let's get a couple of branches. Let's throw it down so everybody can catch on. And then all of a sudden, here goes. And everybody's throwing branches, palm branches. Everybody's throwing their clothing down on the, and they're shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. You just get one person to start doing it. Have you ever seen that wave, you know, in the stadiums? One person, woo! And next thing you know, you have the whole crowd doing it all the way around. That, you know, I can just see that the disciples were sitting there going, come on, hey, this is happening. It's happening. This is exciting. Let's do it. And everybody begins to shout and to scream at the top of their lungs with such crazy fervor. The Messiah is coming. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And the leaders and the officials begin to get upset, and they said, Jesus, tell your people to be quiet. Jesus said, I can't stop them from doing this. Even if I were to stop them from doing this, don't you understand that the very rocks here would begin to shout? He was trying to say something to them. He was trying to help them to see, I am the Messiah. I am the one who has come. The disciples didn't get it wrong. He was the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. And he was coming. But their intentions and their motives were misguided. I want you to think, now we've talked about them going into the city of Jerusalem, and there's this emotion, there's this excitement, there's this momentum, and all of a sudden it's Passover. It's the season for Passover. It's the time of Passover. They prepare the meal. And what was the time of Passover? The time of Passover was a celebration of when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Moses had led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And so when they saw Jesus, they said, this is the perfect time. This is it. This is when it's supposed to happen. It's going to happen right now. Look at what happened. Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. He freed them from the slavery and the bondage of Egypt. And the children of Israel were established as God's people. This is the perfect timing when Jesus is here and he's going to free us from the oppression of the Roman Empire. He's going to free us from the oppression of the Roman Empire. Even when Jesus was saying all of these things, I'm going to be handed over to the priests, and I'm going to have this happen, and the other thing's going to happen, they're sitting there, they're scratching their head, they're like, okay, you know what? And I can just see some of them, Judas, Peter, others, sitting there going, no, we've waited long enough. We've been doing this for 3.5 years. Look at the masses. Look at the crowds. It is time for us to make this happen. Fast forward to the Passover in the upper room. The meal is prepared. The disciples are celebrating. I mean, there is just this ecstatic, they are just hyped because they know what's about to happen. They know that Jesus is going to overturn the Roman Empire, and he's going to be established as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and his throne will last forever, the throne of David, and of his kingdom there will be no end. They've read the scriptures. They've read the scriptures. They understand this. And so I can hear them talking about all of the things and getting so excited about it as they're sitting there drinking, and they begin to brag. I can hear the stories begin to come out. Do you remember that leper that was there and how I just said those words and all of a sudden they got healed? And here's the other one over here. No, that was nothing, man. Don't you remember whenever that demon came running out and we were there and we started casting out that demon and it ran and fled away? He said, no, wait. Don't you remember whenever there was this person and there was three of them there and they were all sick and in an instant everybody got healed and they're bragging. They're bragging. They have bragging rights. No, I was the one that knew who was the kid that had the lunch. I was the one that brought that kid to Jesus. You can just hear the different ones. No, that was my idea. That was my idea. Oh, yeah, well, whenever I was passing out that bread, did you see how many times it multiplied? I passed out more than you did. Mine multiplied more than yours. You can just hear this kind of stuff going on. Why? Because they're sitting here and they're thinking, I deserve to be better. I deserve to be recognized because I have done more. I have done more. I have achieved a greater thing. And so therefore, I deserve to be the one. And so in the midst of all of this arguing, Jesus does something. He puts off his clothes, his robe to the side, gets a towel, wraps it around his waist, gets some water, begins to kneel down, and one by one he begins to wash his disciples' feet, one by one by one. And in an instant, now I know that we talk about how that the wine was really juice. It wasn't really juice, and I'll explain to you later. But you can imagine that by now they're a little bit tipsy. It's Passover. They have to drink a lot of wine during the Passover season. And so they're there, and they're a little bit tipsy at this point. They're like, what's going on? What in the world is happening? What is this he's doing? And they were struggling to understand. And then Jesus says this, John chapter 13, verse 12 through 17, the New Living Translation. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? And I can imagine them looking around like, who's got the answer? Who's got the answer? He said, you call me teacher and Lord. And you're right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done. I tell you the truth. Slaves are no greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. Now, I'm not sitting here and saying that we need to wash everybody's feet. That's not the point. But the point is that we need to serve one another. We need to serve one another. We need to have an attitude of service. Jesus is trying to communicate a message to them in this moment. It's not going to happen the way that you have planned, he was trying to say. That is not how my kingdom operates. Jesus said, if I as your Lord serve, you must also serve. You must also serve. A servant isn't greater than the master. Fast forward to the garden. Here, there, and this is why I say that it was wine, because they couldn't stay awake. They fell asleep. They kept falling asleep. Jesus said, pray with me. Too much wine. I can't keep my eyes open. But there was this momentum that they had experienced, that they had felt. Here's Judas. And he is there and he decides, I'm going to push this thing. I'm going to push this thing. I'm going to force Jesus' hand. I'm going to go sell him for 30 pieces of silver. I've seen him escape crowds that tried to kill him 100 times. Nobody can touch him. He's the Messiah. No big deal. But guess what? It's going to start the revolt. It's going to start the revolt, and it's going to overthrow the kingdom. Maybe that's what he was thinking. But here he sells Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Here comes the soldiers. And Peter's like, oh, no, no. This is not going to happen. We got this. All right, guys, y'all ready? On my lead. Y'all ready? Let's do this. And he pulls out that sword. Swings. Now, he wasn't maybe a great swordsman because he missed killing the guy. He chopped off the guy's ear. And Jesus said, stop. 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 That's not how this is going to work. That is not how this is going to happen. Suddenly, in their grand scheme of things, everything went wrong. Jesus wasn't fighting. The revolution hadn't begun. He was being crucified on a cross. In an instant, their excitement and jubilation was replaced with panic and fear. No one had listened to Jesus. No one understood what was happening. I want you to fast forward to the Mount of Ascension. Jesus had died. He rose again. He had spent 40 days with his disciples after he had risen, appearing to them, teaching them, showing to them the word, and how he was the fulfillment of those things. And here they are at the Mount of Ascension. And all of a sudden, this is what was stated. Jesus was about to go to heaven. And this is the question that the disciples asked. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. In the New Living Translation says, so when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him. It doesn't say they asked him once. It said they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? Restore our kingdom. At the moment when Jesus was about to ascend into heaven, they were still asking about ruling with him. They were asking, are you going to restore our kingdom? His response was, you don't know, you don't need to know that information. That information is not important to you at this time. He said, go and serve. Go and serve. That was his response. Love serves. Love serves. The reason that leadership is the antidote, servant leadership is the antidote, is because it flies in the face of the power-hungry, greedy, self-absorbed, narcissistic culture of leadership within our society today. Humanity has been infected with a virus that has attached itself to our DNA. Success is defined as reaching the top of your respective field by any means necessary. It matters not who you have to slander or to destroy. In your pursuit of success, everything is fair game. The ensuing destruction and chaos that follows is simply dismissed as collateral damage. Survival of the fittest. Survival of the fittest. The kingdom of God is the exact opposite. The kingdom of God is the exact opposite. Position comes from God, and promotion is based upon the extent to which my life reflects the example of Christ. I'm going to say that again. In the kingdom of God, position comes from God, and promotion is based upon the extent to which my life reflects the example of Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11, and this is also in the New Living Translation, it says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He humbled himself in obedience. He humbled himself in obedience. And therefore, God exalted him to the highest place of honor. In the Garden of Gethsemane, as Jesus was crying out and praying, what was the prayer that he began to proclaim over and over again? Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. He kept saying, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. But then he said those famous words, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Your will be done. He humbled himself in obedience. He was a bond servant to God because he did not pursue his will or his desire. He was submitted and committed to the will of the Father. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 and 5, this is in the NIV, it says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not self-seeking. Love serves. Love serves. I want you to hear what I'm about to say right now. Please listen. Pay attention to this. If you don't get anything else from this message today, I want you to hear this. The one who fights to keep what they have fears that it can be taken away. The one who fights to keep what they have fears that it can be taken away. The one who fights for position and promotion, the one who fights for position and promotion identifies who they are by what they have or what they do. I can only be a servant leader. You can only be a servant leader when we fully identify as children of God. We can only be servant leaders when we fully identify as children of God. Who is God? He is our Heavenly Father. He is the one that provides all that we need. He is the one that loves us. He's the one that cares for us. He's the one that is the Good Shepherd. He is the one that we say, you are the one who provides all that I am. When I begin to truly believe that God loves me and all of that, all that that entails, all of that that encapsulates, his love means he is my provider. It means he is my sustainer. It means he is the one who is watching over me. It means that he was the one who created me with purpose and on purpose and for a purpose. It means that I have been given a reason for living. I have been given a purpose to live for, intentionality. It means that he is the one who is to be reflected. And I want to be like Daddy. And therefore, I choose to live my life with authenticity, true to the original. I choose to be all that God has called me to be because he has called me his child. When I fully identify as a child of God, I can be kind and I can serve others. Because then I am not seeking what I can get. I'm not fighting to keep something that I have. I know who I am. I know who I am. I'm a child of God. And I know that because of that, all that I need, he will provide. And then I know that I have a purpose, and that purpose is to give freely what I have received. Because the Father's heart, listen to me, the Father's heart is to reach everyone with his love. That is the heart of the Father. And when we begin to understand that Jesus did not come to be served, but to seek and to serve those who were in need, and we begin to follow that example, when we understand who we are, when we identify fully as children of God, then we can become servant leaders. When my being, my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength is consumed by God's love, I become a leader in God's kingdom, serving the world around me. I'm going to say it one more time in case you missed it. When my being, my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength is consumed by God's love, I become a leader in God's kingdom, serving the world around me. Love serves. Jesus serves. I serve. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, as we are closing this morning. And the NIV says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Serve one another humbly in love. This Palm Sunday, as we begin Holy Week, instead of laying palm branches and clothing before the King, would you lay aside your pride and self-ambition and give your life fully to His service? Will you place your life in His hands and allow Him to use you as He chooses? Will you say, as Jesus said, "Not my will, but yours be done"? Will you allow Him to use you to bring healing to the world by using your life as an example of His love? Serve one another humbly in love. Who desires to be great in God's kingdom must be the servant of all. Love serves. Love serves. If you've never given your life to Jesus, I want to give you the opportunity to do so right now. Right now. When you give your life to Jesus, you find purpose. You find fulfillment. You find your reason for living. You are connecting with the Heavenly Father who has all that you have need of. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter the circumstance you find yourself in at this moment. It matters not whether you have a job or you do not have a job. It matters not whether you feel secure or you do not feel secure. I am here to tell you with full confidence, 100% knowing and believing that my Father, my God, shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory. I want you to think about your life for just a moment. Every circumstance, every situation that you've gone through in life, the moments that you can look back and say, "I thought I was in an impossible situation. I thought I would not get through that. I thought that I could not get past that moment." And yet here you are today because of the grace of our Heavenly Father who loves you. If He can get you through, then, if He didn't fail you then, He won't fail you now. I'm here to tell you that He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. Will you commit your life to Him? If that is you right now, I just want you to type a message or to let us know that you are raising your hand right now to say, "I want to receive Jesus. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior." Will you let us know? I want to pray for you right now. Close your eyes, please, with me, and I want you to repeat this. Dear Jesus, I give my life to You. I surrender all to You. And I thank You that You are giving me purpose, that You are providing all of my need, that I can trust You fully. Help me to trust Your love. I surrender all to You. I accept You as my Lord and my Savior, as my good Savior, and as my Father. And I thank You that You receive me as Your child. Help me, I ask, to extend Your love to the world around me as I learn what it means to love You and to be loved by You. In Jesus' name, amen. What a precious privilege. What a precious privilege. Now, I want to pray for everyone in the audience who would say, "I'm struggling. I'm struggling right now because I feel insecure. I feel insecure in my faith. I know that God has me, but I'm trying to get there in my mind. I'm trying to get there in my faith. I know that God said that He loves me, but I'm still struggling, and I find myself fighting with people around me and feeling like I have to fight for my own because there is nothing else that I can do besides just have to keep myself taken care of. And I'm here to tell you that if you will lay your hands, lay your heart, lay your being before the Lord and surrender fully, He will make you a servant leader by giving you all of the resources that you need and helping you to bless those around you. So let's pray together. Father, I ask that you would help us to surrender to you. Help us to surrender to your will. Not my will, but your will be done. Use us, O Lord, in your service as we learn to serve the world around us by showing them your love. May we serve in love because you served us and your love serves. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I pray a blessing over every single person that's watching this, every person that is hearing my voice right now, that you would fill them with your peace. Help them to trust you more. I pray, Lord, that you would bless them, keep them, make your face to shine upon them, and be gracious to them. Lift up your countenance upon them and give them your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Finally, I just want to say thank you for tuning in. Thank you so much for being a part of the service today. We're so glad that you did so. Please do not forget that we are here for you. Anything that you need, please call, let us know, contact us. Let us know what you need. We're praying for you. We're believing God for you. We're going to get through this together. And remember to serve one another. Love serves. Love serves. Tune in Wednesday night for the special Passover, and tune in on Sunday as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the birth of the church, the birth of the church. So I encourage you to tune in with us as we celebrate God's holy community that He established. Be blessed. Be sure to share with your friends. Let everyone know that you got to see this message. If it blessed you, share with everybody else. See you next week. Have a blessed, blessed week. God bless you.